this can't be so. Then it occurred to me, you couldn't be mad. Magneto was mad, Titanium too, and the Green.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Near Mint Comic Radio, your local comic shop shrunk down, gamma irradiated, with both its parents tragically killed before its eyes, and aired live every week, only on the Nonproductive Network, the only place that would have us. I'm your host, Frank, joined in studio by Pete. Hello, Pete.
Sup?
On Near Mint. Wow, why does it get me every week? And it's like nothing, but it just It totally does it for me. All right. We rank on and review comics.
That was a great way to get everybody to go back and listen. Does he really do that every week?
Every week.
Every single week.
Yeah.
I defy you to find one instance where I didn't.
Yeah. We rank and review comics from best to worst. That's mint and near mint, good, fair, and poor to you newbies, and try to guide you in what to read and what might be left on the curb. In the recycling. That's right. That's what you do with your comics.
Digital comics. Don't just throw them away.
Yeah. If digital comics, get rid of your tablet.
Recycle it.
Yeah.
Put it in with the rest of the paper recycling. It'll work out fine.
Your local recycling depot will make good use of it.
Yes.
Recycling depot? Is that what we call them?
Yes.
I don't know.
Of course.
You know what? On this week's episode of Near Mint, we're gonna I think focus mostly on one issue of a relatively new comic.
I like how you present that as though it were, you know, a brand new idea that you just had.
Yeah, like we're just like
we didn't
do
any
thing.
Kind of
we're gonna
pre-work.
Take it back and we're gonna make it nice and simple for you all. We're gonna do one quick issue. It's going to be a Marvel book. It is relatively new. It's a few weeks old by now, and I think the second issue is out, but we're going to give you our initial impressions.
It's like the second issue. This is kind of difficult because this is a one-off, really.
Yes, and we're talking about Marvel Standoff, Welcome to Pleasantville, Electric Boogaloo. Is that the full title?
Pleasant Hill.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said Pleasantville. Yeah.
That name is actually somewhat important.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. So yeah, Avengers number one, Standoff, Welcome to Pleasant Hill. It's an interesting book. This takes place in our Marvel continuity. You're more caught up on what's going on in Marvel right now. Does this take place in any particular time? I picked it up without knowing anything about what's going on post Secret Wars, and I was fine. So I'm just curious anything that I need to know getting in.
This is the first thing that's really happening after the whole Secret Wars thing. This is the first crossover, or major crossover at least, in the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe.
Yeah, and as far as I can tell, my novice opinion is that you can pick this up pretty clear. And
yeah.
You're not gonna have any issues. We'll give you clear marks before we go into deep spoiler territory,
yes.
But we are reviewing a book, so expect us to talk about it. It's interesting. It takes place. So at first, I thought this was going to be a semi tie-in with Civil War,
mm-hmm.
Because the first character we are introduced to is Winter Soldier / Bucky,
yes.
I guess. And it does make reference to things that happened pre-Secret Wars. This was, if those of you who are loyal Marvel readers or listeners of this podcast know,
mm-hmm.
you know that there was a period of time when I think it was called, what was the Watcher storyline called?
It was
the Man on the Wall, but it was something, there was some sort of catchy toying with the word Watcher. I mean, it was like, who watches the Watcher? Who watches the Watcher watch you? A few months ago, Marvel did a series. This is pre-Secret Wars.
I can't believe
Wars.
I'm below.
Yeah.
This is exactly how much influence that that storyline had, really.
Well, I actually somewhat enjoyed it, but it was a murder mystery of who killed the Watcher, which may very well be the name of that line. I can't remember anymore. But in it, we find out that Nick Fury had this other secret job where he was protecting the known universe, or at least Earth, from existential threats and inter-Earth threats.
Yeah.
He was the man on the wall with a shotgun or a sniper rifle, actually.
Like, yeah, that was a little weird because all he really seemed to do was sit on an asteroid and use
shoot
a
people.
super sniper rifle to shoot aliens across the galaxy.
Which sounds a lot more fun than it actually was.
Yeah.
But it was an okay story, and in it, we find that Nick Fury's doesn't want the job anymore. He's getting old. He's one of a bunch of characters that aged rapidly before Secret Wars. And, you know, Bucky was given the job. He's the guy who is now going to be on the wall, who is basically, it's kind of giving him the Winter Soldier, I'm a rogue, I'm out there doing the dirty jobs that nobody wants to do, but without actually, you know, trying to bring up the 1980s Cold War with Russia.
Aha!
Oh, you got the title?
Original Sin.
Original Sin. How are we going to guess that? There's no context for this.
Yeah. There was not much in the storyline.
Right. So anyways, it starts off with this immediately, and I actually, for a minute, forgot that Secret Wars was a thing. And there's a lot of snarky comments that could be inserted right now.
Easy enough to do, and it's... Yeah.
We're not going to rehash this entire whether Secret Wars was necessary thing.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to try and relate it to this story. Basically, you can pretty much take what happened before the Marvel Universe that you knew it before for granted.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, stuff pretty much happened that way, but if we tell you something's different, don't get mad at us.
Yeah.
That seems to be Marvel's... position on this soft reboot.
Right. So, that's the first thing that hit me was that I thought this was going to be some sort of either secret kind of backdoor movie, you know, Winter Soldier, but whatever the new movie's going to be called.
Civil War.
Civil War, that's right. Way of reframing the Civil War movie that's coming out soon. Or it's, you know, an acknowledgement of something that was a major deal but right before Secret Wars. But the story we got was quite different.
Very.
I really liked it. Run us through the basics, Pete.
We open on Bucky infiltrating a S.H.I.E.L.D. location and discovering some nebulous, horrible secret that some experiment that S.H.I.E.L.D. was conducting.
Right.
Just before being captured by S.H.I.E.L.D. security. And knocked out. When we next join the story... We're now in...
It's a wonderful page, actually. So the first panel on that page, it's got Captain America fighting Nazis, mm-hmm. Or maybe Hydra agents. Yeah, it looks like Hydra agents. And then you see Bucky tied to a rocket, like these, flashes of memories.
This narration of, I remember the war, I remember...
I remember how it ended.
I remembered what it was like to stand for something.
Right, and then our narrator wakes up, and he is in a beautiful garden or a park in basically this like idyllic like stereotypical suburban America wonderland.
Imagine Pleasantville in color.
There's that, and we find out the place is called Pleasant Hill. And it's basically, it's wonderful. It's just your average suburban dreamscape with, you know, the sheriff and the doctors and the townsfolk, mm-hmm. and a character who I believe is named Jim, our main character's name Jim, is that correct?
Yes, they
name him Jim, who doesn't remember who he is. So I love stories that involve unreliable narrators and altered memories, and the kind of suspicion that something out there isn't quite what it is. That's my thing. I really enjoy that.
Yeah. And this was an interesting one. And they kind of telegraph a little bit.
And this is just the first issue. The arc is going to go on for quite a while.
To tell you exactly what's going on, this issue is a one-shot prequel intro to the crossover is Avengers Standoff Assault on Pleasant Hill.
So we got
Alpha One.
These are awful names.
Yes.
I'm sorry. We made fun of Original Sin, but at least that's a word. That's a phrase. You got it. This thing is just really
mouthful. The way it's structured is it's bookended by an Alpha and Omega issue.
Are there
and in between there are crossovers with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic, most of the Avengers comics. So this is going to touch a lot of the Avengers family of books in Marvel right now.
That's cool. So we could talk about a few things without going into spoiling. Like I said, I really enjoy the kind of the framework of a story about a person who's sort of captured by Middle America. Mm. I like those kinds of conspiracy stories that would be from like a Twilight Zone episode or something written in the 50s during the Red Scare.
Yeah.
I really enjoy those kinds of stories. That's really cool. There was a nod in there from the Cinematic Universe, Pete, that you brought to my attention.
Oh, yeah, I believe it's the comic book debut of Dr. Eric Selvig.
Right. He has a walk-on role.
Who you'd remember from Thor.
Right.
Which I believe leaves Darcy as the last character from the Marvel Cinematic Universe that still needs to cross over into the books.
At least as
And
far
why
as
wasn't she the first?
Isn't Darcy in some Loki comic? I could have sworn she was. Or is there like a, just a approximation? Like there might be an approximation character who's like Darcy-like.
There's one, I forget the name of the
yeah,
character from Loki.
I remember
from
talking
from
a few years ago with Vivian Cleary, who fan of the a friend of the network, who was like really like, she's so close to being Darcy. I can't remember if that's actually true or not, but I'll look into it. So there's a couple fun things. The art is really on par. I like the
Mark Bagley.
Yeah. And the I like the tone of it. And it, certainly this book makes you wonder what's going on, but there's also tons of Easter eggs throughout that are clever little things. Some of them aren't like they're pretty damn obvious. So doctors who are named Bruce, mm-hmm. right? Or maybe even Dr. Banner. I can't quite remember the name of the doctor, but it was like pretty heavily supposed to be somebody.
Isn't there the mustachioed dude that works in that works as a mechanic named Tony?
I don't remember if his name,
I think
was,
his
Tony,
name is Tony.
He feels like Tony Stark, and you get the impression that Jim, our main character, is probably Bucky, obviously. But there's a lot of good misdirection and Easter eggs. And just focusing on the Easter egg, just one little thing. Look, try to find Ghost Rider in this. It's really hilarious where he shows up.
By the way, another thing where Jim is put up. Where he's staying?
Where is he?
Mrs. Bixby's house.
Oh, see that there's some things that just don't even that doesn't even fare. So I highly recommend it. I think it's going to be a fun read. I hope that the series is going to be pretty good.
I'm minting this.
You're minting this book. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, on a single prequel issue. I'm going to give it a near mint. I think there were some fun things about the book, but a lot of it seemed it's weird. The stuff that I felt was the most obvious and heavy-handed turned out to be misdirection. Mm-hmm. So in that respect, I should give it a higher rating, but near mint's pretty damn good, and I can't wait to read the next issue.
I'm giving this a mint because this issue accomplished something. In this issue, Marvel accomplished something that they haven't done in almost 20 years, and I didn't think they could do again.
What was that?
Huh? I can't say until we get to the spoilers.
Oh, okay. Well, now that we've given you our
reviews.
That's
the little tease, and if that didn't wet your whistle, you're never going to read the book.
That's right. All right, so let's go right into the spoilers. Pete, who did you think these characters were that we were encountering? Let's talk about our main character, Jim, and his, like, comes out of nowhere technical support person. I was a mechanic. They made me a mechanic, but I feel like I'm not a mechanic. He's mustachioed. He's very Downey Jr.'d. Who did you think these characters were?
Well, the Jim, obviously, because of the lead-in that we got to this, which showed Bucky getting captured and knocked out and obviously taken into custody by S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
I immediately thought, and with the flashback to World War II.
Right.
Bam, right there, James Buchanan Barnes, Bucky.
James Buchanan Barnes. All right, so I forgot Bucky's his first name. So I thought it might be Bucky. I thought it was probably Bucky, but yeah. I thought the misdirection was it was going to end up being Steve. And this was one of their ways, because I'm really out of the loop mm-hmm. now, one of their ways of bringing young Steve back. Because I keep hearing that Captain America is going to go back to Steve Rogers, but last I heard pre-Secret Wars, he was an old man and couldn't do the job anymore, didn't want to do the job anymore. So this was an interesting way of bringing it back, I guess. That's really what I thought. By the time the obviously Tony Stark character shows up and says, yeah, I've been working as a mechanic, but I built these wonderful things and I have these memories.
I can't tell you where why these are coming up.
Yeah. I was like, all right, so it's Tony and Steve, or maybe Tony and Bucky, and they're going to snap out of why S.H.I.E.L.D. is holding them hostage and figure out, and this is going to be an interesting story.
I was right. They said his name. They made him think his name was Phil, the Tony Stark.
Oh, which
the
is another
obviously Tony Stark character.
Right, which, you know, you're stretching, but maybe it was a Phil Coulson. I don't know. But that last page, or last few pages, pretty amazing who it turns out to be.
Yeah.
And my hat's off to them.
And so what we do get is we find out that this Phil guy has uncovered a training tape.
Right. And so you've been selected to secretly imprison people and brainwash them.
It's a SHIELD training cape. It turns out that this town is a secret SHIELD holding facility.
Because rafts don't work, and because super high security places and negative zones don't work.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, brainwashing people into having normal lives, that's the way you're imprisoning them. Right. And of course, Pleasant Hill is named after the mayor.
Maria Hill.
Right. And all this makes sense, but it's pretty interesting. And of course, our Phil the mechanic develops some sort of device that allows you to regain your memories.
Yeah.
Right. So he brings down
Jim Jim in on this because he senses a kindred soul or whatever. And you get the Morpheus moment, red pill, blue pill. Are you sure you want to know who you are?
Right.
And Jim, of course, our hero, is, I want to know. And bam.
It fits so perfectly. It's Baron Zemo. And the Fixer. Is like...
Or Techno, depending on what he's going by. I think they're calling him Fixer now.
How do I put this? It did not feel like it was a cheat.
No.
It felt like I was stupid enough to just fill in the gaps for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
they made it easy for you to do it, and we fell for it.
Yeah.
And it blew me away because this was the exact same reveal, almost the exact same panel that they did back with Thunderbolts number one when they revealed that Citizen V was actually Baron Zemo.
Uh-huh.
And Fixer was Fixer.
Yeah, right? Fool me once.
And they telegraphed it so many times.
Right.
I mean, even down to the fact that Mark Bagley is doing the pencils.
Yeah, you're right.
He did the pencils for Thunderbolts number one.
And I just want to impress on people that it does not feel disappointing.
It feels
like you got master wordsmiths.
Hopefully you have read it by now and you know that it's not it's not disappointing.
It's really good.
I don't know how you could be disappointed by this.
I'm curious about where they're going next with this story, but anywhere could be fun. And
I have read
you've seen
Alpha number one. It's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Basically old Cap finds out about the place.
That's gonna be fun. That's gonna be great. And does it hold up to your Mint review? Do you think it's still
still has the potential to stay on Mint track?
Exciting.
It's still on the Mint track. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep it on the rails, but it didn't go. It's not going exactly the way I thought it was going to go.
Uh huh.
But it's still interesting.
That's exciting. I can't wait to find out more. So, okay, we are highly recommending. I cannot wait to get back on the reading train for Marvel. I feel like I've fallen off.
This is the on point.
Yeah, this is the best onboarding moment for Marvel if you're big fans and just stopped reading during the summer for whatever reason. All right, cool.
Secret Wars. That was the reason if you stopped reading during the summer.
Yeah. Well, follow Nonproductive on all your social media accounts to find out more. Mm-hmm. In a few minutes, we're going to come back and talk about something really exciting to us, which is the Disney Power March Madness.
Ah!
We're entering round two. It's going to be lit. That's what the kids say.
Yeah, like lit. A Christmas tree.
More like a March Madness tree.
Yes.
This has been a Nonproductive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Nonproductive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.